But as far as the Earth is billions of years old, what I'm sure there's tons of things you could do in order to prove that the Earth is billions of years old. But what would be the main use of something to tell you that the Earth was, would you say carbon dating or?
No, not carbon dating, because carbon dating can only really get you to like 60,000 years, but different types of radioactive isotopes you can use, like rubidium, strontium, uranium, lead, and a few others have half-lives in the billions. So you can use those to accurately date. And you can use more than one technique, and they'll both be able to give you kind of the same answer. So you can't say, oh, well, that's just a quirk of that one particular dating method. It gives you an age like that. But like you could claim that. But the fact that we have others that do the same thing and give you the same answer is like, yeah, I think this is true. Like if I had a tape measure and I measured the width of something and says, yep, it's 10 inches wide, you could be like, but do you know that tape measure actually is accurate? Maybe it was manufactured incorrectly. It's like, oh, okay. But then if you go and get a ruler and a yardstick and three other tape measures and they all agree, then it's like, okay, well, either by some weird coincidence, all these measurements, which are not connected to each other, are all giving the same answer, or we have an actual valid measurement going on here.
So you would say carbon dating is one of those aspects?
Carbon dating is a dating method, but you don't use it to find out how old the Earth is, because it doesn't go back far enough, not nearly far enough.
So is there any of those type of measurements that you were talking about before that does make up the whole, however old you think the Earth is? What is it, 60 billion?
No, a little over 4.5 billion. Uranium lead, that was the first technique that was used to do it.
So that gives the 4 billion.
Yeah.
Uranium lead alone. Okay.
Yeah. Not it's not the only one. The others, I think you can get that far with rubidium, strontium as well, and a few others. There's, what is that one? Potassium, argon. I don't know how far back each one specifically goes, but there are multiple techniques you can use.
Yeah. So that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, at least with carbon dating, I mean, I think that, you know, like you said, I guess it can only be used up to a certain amount. And I think that's due to the magnetic field, right? And how the magnetic field has basically deteriorated over time.
Well, yeah, but that may just be part of an oscillating trend.
Well, no, but I mean, if the magnetic field is deteriorating over time, it's not, it doesn't go back up. We don't regain magnetic field, do we?
So like the sun, for example, it goes through, they're not magnetic as far as I know, but it goes through periods of maximum and minimum, energy output. They're just called solar maximums, and those happen on 11 or 13 year cycles, some prime number, I think. So yeah, I mean, there are fluctuations that we know happen. And with the sun, I mean, there is going to be a magnetic component with that, because the sun is going to have more magnetic activity, like those, what do they call them? Solar flares and things like that. Those are caused, those are caused by magnetic events in and around the surface of the sun.
Right. But as far as the magnetic field overall, you know, it is deteriorating and has been decreasing without regenerating. Yeah. So that would affect carbon dating. But
Whoa. No. The strength of Earth's magnetic field doesn't have a bearing on carbon dating. It may have some weird effect on the rate at which carbon 14 is produced, but we've been able to calibrate I don't know what to call it, really, timelines or whatever for carbon dating. We've been able to do that for a long time. We've been able to take into account all kinds of things.
And what do you feel, you know, looking at the remains of dinosaurs and finding, you know, material in dinosaur remains that are not just bones.
Well, we've never found bones. It's rocks that have taken the place of
fossils,
the bones.
And fossils. My bad.
There have been some microscopic remnants of I wouldn't even call it tissue. It's just kind of like some organic junk that's lasted, which is really interesting. But the creationist cannot. This has come up every single weekend for about a month now, so I've said this a bunch of times. But the creationist cannot use that as an argument, because the creationist can't say organic tissue can't last millions of years, because the entire universe, according to them, is only a few thousand years old. So they don't know that.
Okay. I mean, I guess. So the creationist is saying that the Earth is only 6,000-7,000 years old or whatever. You're saying they can't say that that type of organic material can last more than 6,000 or 7,000 years, because why?
Because according to them, the entire Earth isn't that old, so they don't know that. That's a completely unjustifiable claim.
And then as far as evolution goes, I mean, I don't know in the history of the world when one species of animal has evolved into another completely different species of animal, as the theory of evolution would suggest.
That's now it happens, or that's not even how it happens. Although hybridization events can occur that would conceptually produce a new species. I wouldn't be surprised if that has been observed with plants before. I mean, radically different kinds of non-disjunction in plants have occurred, and you could technically argue that that's a different species, because it's no longer genetically compatible with whatever its like parent was or whatever. I don't like those kind of arguments, because humans go through non-disjunction too, and so I will not entertain the idea that non-disjunction means you're a different species. But no, evolution wouldn't say that a species turns into another species. That sounds like Pokemon. But even if we say one day a species gives birth to another species, that's not how evolution is proposed to occur either. The most perfect analogy is language, because languages evolve exactly like species evolve, not exactly, because it's not a genetic thing or whatever, but the way language changes bit by bit over generations, and which eventually produces full-fledged different languages over vast stretches of time, is exactly like how small genetic changes that accumulate over time across populations that get separated from each other create new species. So, like, it's not true that one day a Latin-speaking person gave birth to a baby that was speaking modern Italian. That's not how it happens. But they are directly connected.
Sure. But I don't know my evolution, you know, evolutionary theory that well. I mean, I don't know it, you know, that well. But I would say that as a Christian and as a creationist, I do believe in evolution, but I would call it microevolution, which is basically adaptation, which I think is the same as maybe language in the case that you're just talking about as well. I mean, you know, people adapt to learn different languages and vernacular and, you know, slang and things like that that may turn into another language, but more of a dialect or, you know, a different part of, but there's a base.
Yeah, so I mean, allow that process to occur for extraordinarily long amounts of time, and what you end up with is not what you're talking about. Portuguese isn't a dialect of Latin. It's not a dialect of Spanish. It's related to both of them, but it's completely different. right?
But it's Latin based though. It's a romantic language.
Just like I'm a mammal, but I can't fuck a kangaroo. Well, I could, but I can't make a kangaroo baby.
Right. But just like you
said, not saying I would, just saying I could.
You'd have to go to Australia. That would be your best opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No, but again, like you said, you know, language is not an organic thing. So, you know, I don't know if that's such a great example, but
I think it's the best example because it works basically the same way on so many different levels of analysis. But anyways, so you believe in the microevolution or whatever. Okay, well, how many microevolutions do you think would happen in a species if that species lived for 10 million years?
Well, I think it would depend on, you know, the area in which that species was native to. You know, I mean, if you go out further and further where maybe the temperature changes or the terrain changes, you're going to get different color variations. You may get different, different variations in that species, sure. But again, that's due to adaptation. I don't think that you can take an animal in a certain area and you'll find the same exact animal in a completely, like, let's say you get one from the Amazon and you're going to find that one in the Arctic. You know, it's...
I don't know what you're trying to say. So we're going to take a species, and you agree that this species goes through some microevolutions. Okay. Do you actually think that after 10 million years of, because the micromutations, they never stop. So do you think that accumulating micromutations over 10 million years, the species at the end would be the same as the species you started with?
No, I think that it would be different.
That's what we believe.
But it wouldn't be.
Microevolution is how this process happens. It's just that this process doesn't stop. It goes on for, and we have deep time.
Deep
time. So.
Yeah. MAGA is a cancer. Being a conservative and a Republican, you know, I don't necessarily know what MAGA. This is the problem I have with what's going on in our country right now, is there are certain aspects to someone's life. For instance, I'm a Christian. And if you say that I'm a Christian and I voted for Trump, that I'm MAGA. And I just don't necessarily know what that means, per se. I don't know what MAGA is. I think it was a phrase coined for... you know, somebody to get elected, just like anybody else does. You know, they use coined phrases, they use songs, they use things that make people attached to it. But, you know, I wouldn't consider myself necessarily MAGA. I did vote for Trump, and I am a conservative man, I'm a Christian, but I don't know that I would consider myself MAGA. And I agree with you to a certain extent.
Well, we can find out with one quick question.
Yeah.
Do you think that being anti-Christian makes you a domestic terrorist?
Absolutely not.
Then you're not MAGA.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. No, I don't think so at all. However, if you did see things like you were describing in other countries because of their political structure, that they're going and, you know, killing Christians with an intent because they are Christian to kill them. Now, if that's something that happens, then yeah, I would say that they're a terrorist for sure, an anti-Christian terrorist. I don't think that that's happening here in America, but I think it does happen, yes.
Right.
Yeah. But no, I do not think that a group here in America should be coined a domestic terrorist because they're not a Christian.
Well, Donald Trump is trying to get that to be the way it is.
With which group of people?
Anybody basic. Well, here, we'll look up the list.
In addition to autographed copies of both my books and, of course, Spanky, I'm excited to announce that I now have stickers, tumblers, apparel, and more on my store. take Spanky, the God-Defeating Penguin, and can you put that into a logical syllogism with you wherever you go now?
I think there was something made that Trump put into effect about burning an American flag at some sort of political protest would deem you as a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, right? And you'd get a year in jail for that. That was that isn't really what it was, because even he's smart enough to know that the Supreme Court would never allow that. So what it is it's basically it's a trumped up property damages sort of charge. It's like if you take a flag off of like a public building or a federal building, if you take the American flag off of one of those and burn it, then, I mean, you'd be charged with property destruction of public property or federal property anyways. But then they specified it. If you do it specifically to the American flag, then you get a year in jail. So it's not the EO or whatever it was doesn't say that if you go to Walmart, buy your own American flag and then burn it, then you go to jail for a year. That's not what it is.
Yeah. And I don't think that executive order ever actually was put into effect, was it? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. But no, I'm in agreement with you in that, you know, some of this stuff that is coined MAGA, I'm not in agreement with at all. I don't know. I don't know when we're going to get to a point where we can come to some sort of a middle. We're so polarized right now that every move there's a counter move to every move, and it's usually extreme. And I don't know when we're going to get away from that. But I don't necessarily believe with the quote unquote MAGA movement. I don't know how Make America Great Again became something that it is now, you know.
Yeah. Oh, so a viewer on YouTube, Nobody on Fire, thank you, sent it to me. Anti-American, anti-capitalism, anti-Christianity, support for the overthrow of the United States government.
That's
weird because he pardoned all the people that tried to do that. Extremism on migration. Weird because they're very extreme on migration. Whatever. Extremism on race. Extremism on gender. Hostility toward those who hold traditional American views on family. Hostility toward those who hold traditional American views on religion. So that would be me. I'm a domestic terrorist all of a sudden. And hostility toward those who hold traditional American views on morality, whatever that means. So when America was founded, we had slavery. So that's traditional, right? So if you're anti-slavery, you're a terrorist, apparently.
Well, I don't think you'd be you'd be deemed a terrorist if you say that you don't believe in God. And I'm not sure if that's what, you know, the spirit of what he's trying to say there. And that's where I think the Trump is wrong in a lot of what he does. He does definitely, and to your point, you know, Trump not being the smartest guy in the world, but just rich. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of those aspects for sure. And I think that some of his policies that he's trying to get completed are not being done in the right way. I think they could be much more democratic and probably could be done better. I don't know if that means he needs a different cabinet around him or better people to you know, figure out how he can get some of his policies enacted. But I think at the heart of what he's saying, I think I understand some of it. I just think that it needs to be done in a different way or spoken about in a different way. I mean, you can agree. You don't necessarily think that anybody who speaks against America and what we're trying to do is a great thing, do you? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can have disagreements. I have disagreements with how America
Trump
is being
openly run. Called Biden and Harris like fascists, for example, and communists and things like that. So by his own admission, he should be branded a terrorist and deported or something.
Yeah, that word fascist gets thrown around way too much now on both sides, in my opinion.
Not enough on my side. He definitely is one.
Yeah. Anyways, hey, thanks for talking with me, man. I appreciate you bringing
exciting news. I will be at DebateCon in Nashville this November. If you're in the area, click the link in the description to get your tickets.